You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Hey everyone, my name is William. I use he, him pronouns, and I regularly think that the squirrels living in my attic have potlucks every other night for the other squirrels in the community. It's kind of wholesome. That's not a euphemism for anything. There really are squirrels in my attic, yeah. Today I'm joined by Jade, a young non-binary being, and Veda, a demigendered male. Jade just recently released their podcast along with a video version on YouTube. Veda edited, produced, and managed off-camera jobs and all things tech-related. Their show holds open discussions with local youth and artists, LGBTQ+, and the BIPOC community, and is up and available on YouTube, Spotify, and wherever people listen to podcasts. Later into the show, we'll get the opportunity to listen to their very first episode of Socially Outward and the interview they had with local queer Filipinx artist, Kim Mortal. Before we get into the show itself, though, let's do a round robin of names, pronouns, fun facts. You can have it be about anything, really. Could be about lizards, national anthems, celebrity birthdays. Give me a fun fact. Give me that sweet, sweet info.
Yes. who's going first?
Jade, you talked first. You go.
Okay, I will. Hi, I'm Jade, as was said. My pronouns are he, they. A fun fact is that I recently cut my nails in a way where they are pointy, so they're like small little daggers. Then I painted them black, so I feel cool.
That is excellent vibes, my friend.
Yes.
Veda?
Hi, my name is Veda. I go by they, him pronouns, specifically in that order because I prefer they pronouns, but I do still identify with he pronouns. A fun fact about me is I don't know. All my fun facts are loaded with heavy stuff. I have a cat. That's always my default cat fact, fun fact. That I default to when I can't think of any fun facts.
Tell me your cat's name.
My cat's name is Piper.
Why don't you mention your bird, bro?
My bird's name is Mango. She chirps and she I hope she doesn't interrupt this because whenever I'm up in my upstairs place, this is my downstairs place. Not that downstairs place. Get your head out of the gutter and get to the upstairs place.
Okay, so Jane Veda, I gave a kind of like a brief description of Socially Outward just now, but how in your words would you describe the show? Why do you think it's important for our listeners to check it out? Jade, let's do Veda. Veda, you go.
Oh, let's do me. Oh, okay. Let's do me then.
Decided to switch.
Okay, switching it up. Personally, I feel Socially Outward is important to have a discussion place for people of the queerness and BIPOC community, just to know they're not alone and they have shared experiences that are normal and valid, and just a fun place to learn about other people's stories. And apart from that, also my mother, who is straight, she thinks, maybe, possibly, has actually enjoys listening to that sort of thing. She's also straight. She's also cis. She is a cis straight woman, and it's good for cis straight people to also just learn that perspective of people that are living in the same world as them, and that whether they like it or not, hopefully they do like it, but they do need to tolerate and respect them.
100%.
So it's great for sharing those stories with people that sympathize and empathize with them, and people that are learning everything for the first time.
Absolutely. And a lot of the people you're interviewing are like local artists and local people, and like it's so interesting seeing all these like queers and like thinking like your city like isn't queer, but then seeing them on your show and being like, oh, there's way more of us than there actually we thought there is. Jade, why do you think it's important for our listeners to check it out and give us like the hot deets about your show?
The hot deets? Why Beta gave the cold deets and I will give the hot deets.
I gave the platonic deets.
I will say that it's really cool because we're just, I often am out there and I have really cool things to share and talk about and represent. However, I don't usually realize that it's like a rare thing, for example, for me as a queer person of color to have a good relationship with my mom, who's also queer. And then also just like specific things, like I did stand up at a gay bar. Not everyone knows that or has that experience. So I want to be able to share about that and like have people be like, oh, that exists. So there's that. And then also, there's a lot of topics around racism and like just things that we want to normalize, not racism. That's not the good order to say that, but normalizing like sexuality and identity and having conversations with young people and bridging those conversations with young people and like young adults and then adults. And in fact, one of the episodes that I wanted to do but couldn't because of COVID was I wanted to interview my Lola. And she was totally into doing that, which is super cool. That would have been mind-blowing for so many people. And that might happen in the next thing series of things. So, yeah.
I definitely hope so. Are you out to your Lola? Because I'm not out to mine.
I am. Oh, it's okay. An interesting thing. It's fun.
So in your YouTube bio, it ends off with be loud, be brave, and be weird. And does that kind of feed into, like, you doing, you know, poetry at a bar? And remind us, how old are you again at that bar?
At that bar? I don't know. I was 13 or 14. I wasn't supposed to be there.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. We had to leave right after your poetry thing was done because you weren't allowed to stay.
That's a fun story to tell people it's a fun thing to tell people you're just meeting. You're like, I did stand-up comedy at a gay bar and there was all ages of queer people and it was super cool. I didn't think they would laugh, but they did laugh, and there was a sculpture of a penis on the wall.
Ooh, scandalous.
I'm gonna jump ahead to question four here, but as two young queer individuals, do you see yourselves represented in Vancouver? I know we just talked about being 13 and doing poetry in a gay bar, but do you see yourself, do you feel like there's enough queer spaces in Vancouver? Like, for me, I feel like it's a lot of 18 plus events.
Do you want to say anything, Baya?
I don't really live in Vancouver. I live in the very far reaches of Vancouver. I live in Langley, which is very, never enter, S, E, not E, E, E as in enter for east on the map of Vancouver, and then we're east, right?
Yeah.
That's right. Hold on, let me look up a map. I don't need to look up a map. I think I'm right.
Yeah, you might need a map to find Langley. Excuse me. Do you feel like there's like enough queer spaces in Langley?
I've never really seen any queer spaces at all in Langley. Like, I've never seen any gay bars, period. But definitely not in Langley. Period it. I guess in answer to your question, probably not.
So how do you find community and what makes you feel at home in those spaces and with that community?
Well, personally, I may be talking from a privileged standpoint, but personally, I do feel as though Langley is sort of, it's not the worst place to be for queer people. I have actually had a lot of my childhood friends and enemies just like the last people I personally would have expected to come out as like trans, lesbian, for instance. I actually had my friend who was actually my first, my second girlfriend at the time. But they have actually recently, we got back in touch, and they since have come out as demi-female. So yeah, that was really fun to learn.
The turntables.
Yeah, exactly.
Isn't it the tables have turned?
Jade, how do you feel with queer representation in Vancouver? I know you live somewhere in Vancouver. How do you feel about queer representation in Vancouver?
Well, I, yes. Like, I think Vancouver is pretty good. There's always room for improvement, obviously, but like it's I think it's pretty good. There's a lot of events that are happening, but it is hard to find those events because if you're not well connected and if you don't necessarily have a lot of social media or know how to navigate it very much, because not everyone's super 100%. It's hard to find out about events. And then even then, like, I remember when I went to my first drag event, it was from Facebook, and it was storytelling with drag, and it was I don't remember locations, I'm terrible with locations, but it was by that one library. I don't know, I can't. I have no idea where things are, but...
It's a place that it probably had books in it? Books?
Is that what they're called? The library. I know it's the library. And then there's an outside space, and they had little tents. It was raining that day, and all these little kids, like, I don't know, like, 2 to 7 or 9 year olds, like, watching these drag performances of them... doing, of course, clean performances, no stripping and stuff, you know, just good old wholesome stuff, and like, it's great. And then they read some of their some chosen books to the kids, and it was cute. It was so cute. It's my first drag show, yeah, that was great. But like, I doubt that a lot of people like knew about it. within my friend group, I tried spreading the word, but like, it's, yeah, I don't know. It's just hard to find out about that stuff. And I'm very lucky to have like media and internet access to be able to look for these things. And yeah, but you know what's even more difficult is that if you're not out and you want to go to one of these events, it's like really sus. It's like hard to be like, hey mom, I want to go to this drag show that might be for people my age or might not be. I have to look about that. But like, if it is, can I? Yeah, like, especially a lot of my Filipino friends who aren't out to their parents because they're, like, traditional Filipino family. And, yeah, they're like, I would love to go, but, like, my mom would never let me go. Yeah, so.
I share a lot of that. Like,
did I answer your question? I hope I did.
No, definitely. Don't bother with, like, feeling like you properly answered the question or not, because I'd regularly guess on multiple choice questions. So I want to pick up on something you said there about like coming out and being in these queer spaces, and I think I'm kind of referring to number 5 here, and it was like in our first show on the collective, we talked about our coming out experiences, And mine, I felt like I jumped from like conservative William to like like super queer William, and like that. There was no in between. I jumped from 0 to 100, and I loved it. I had to plan, you know, my coming out. And I had like pamphlets. I had like
pamphlets.
I had the music. Pamphlets? I set the ambiance. Yeah, pamphlets, like, you know, brochures, like what to do with your gay child.
Sounds fun.
I'm just, you know, that type of person.
I had no idea.
Well, like, what was your coming out experiences like? Was it kind of like that, or was it like premeditated, or did you plan it? Because I am in planning school, and I feel like that's exactly how William back then would do, and why I'm in my degree now. Do you want to go first, Jade? And then we go to Veda?
No, Veda, you go first.
Okay. Oh, okay. My coming out, it was interesting. So I've never really grandiosely came out as pansexual to my parents. My mother knows. I'm not sure if my dad knows. But that wasn't what I was worried about. Really what I was worried about was coming out as demigendered. excuse me. That was very hard for me, because I felt like me being pansexual wasn't something that, well, for one thing, wasn't something that they cared about. My mother is actually in this group of theater people that are, I think, mainly definitely not straight cis. And that's the whole point of their group. It's called Leaping Thespians. And she is very actively engaged in that and likes them a lot.
I love that.
So yeah, that definitely wasn't a problem for me. But yeah, I felt that me being demigendered was just such a new aspect of my personality that I needed to explore. And I just felt like it would be so weird for that sort of like my self-exploration like that to be happening with my parents just like breathing down my shoulder. But eventually I just slowly got a little bit more comfortable with it, mostly towards my mom. And then eventually I was like, hey, let's just go for it. Like, just a little bit slowly. So I was like, hey, I kind of want to like cut my hair and like get some new clothes. What do you think about that? And she was like, yeah, sounds good. Aww. So yeah, I went and scheduled my little haircut, and I got my and then she and my dad took me shopping, and they were both great. They were like really like, yeah, that's really good, and they were actually like, they gave criticism too, like, maybe not that, but this looks really good on you. And so yeah, I got some stuff from the men's section, I got some stuff from the women's section, and then I came back home, and my dad like went upstairs, and my mom was like, okay, so what are your pronouns? And I was like, yeah, let's talk about that.
I love that. Can I rent your parents since for then, a day?
Yeah, sure. Sure thing. But yeah, after that it's been pretty good. My dad hasn't really been too let's talk about this, about it, but he's definitely not been like cold or distant or anything since then. So yeah. Jade, go ahead.
I'm so happy whenever I hear your story and I get all okay, no, beginning. Right. I'm so that okay.
Get together, Jade.
I've always, okay, no, I'm not gonna go about it that way. I want to add on to what you said about like how sexuality wasn't an issue for you, or anything you were scared about talking about, but like with identity, it's a bit trickier, because I personally feel
definitely,
like when it comes to sexuality, it's easier for people who aren't part of people who are straight, to understand it, because it's like, depending on the situation, but like if mm-hmm. you're, it's because they have those feelings. They have those feelings of, okay, I like this person and they're the opposite gender. So I can understand mm-hmm. if it's, you know, but with identity, it's something that, like, it's a harder idea to grasp for people who are cis. Because mm-hmm. there's not much comparison, and like, it's just like, okay, I get the sexuality thing. However, this one, so yeah, but even like in the order of me realizing things as well, like I always have known that I'm not straight, but I didn't know the term for it, as I feel it is that way for many people. Like in kindergarten, I had more crushes on girls than I did on guys. That was kindergarten.
Yeah.
That was kindergarten. And then, you know, in elementary, I told multiple girls at the same time, all in the cubby area. I got all my friends, basically every girl in the class, because I like people a lot. And I told them all at the same time, hey, so I kind of like all of you, but like not in like a friend way. And I like you guys a lot, and I have crushes on all of you.
How did all the dates go?
It was never like, they weren't mean about it, but the feelings were not mutual, as far as I could tell. But yeah, I don't even know if they remember that. Like, I'm still in touch with people I knew in elementary. But yeah, sexuality. Always been like, yeah, I like girls, but I also really like guys. But people just kind of chose to pay more attention to the fact that I liked guys, I feel. Identity. That started in age 9, in grade 4. Because, you know, it actually started with the fact that I went to the school that had a terrible lice infestation. Gross.
Oh, no.
It was my first 2 weeks going there, and we get a letter like, hey, there's people like in your child's class who have lice, so be careful.
Oh, no.
And then one day in the computer lab, I was with this person who's really toxic, and I forgot about her existence until now. But yeah, she was like beside me, and she was staring at my head, and I was like, what? And she's like, and she picked one out of my hair, put it on the desk, and she's like, look at that. And I was like, what? What? And she's like, do you know what that is? And I'm like, yeah, bug. And then she was like, you have lice. And then after school, like, she was like talking to my mom, and I was hanging, like, I was gonna go home with my mom. She told my mom, and she's like, and don't worry, I won't tell anybody about it. It's like, it's fine. I won't judge you for having gross things in your hair. I won't tell anyone.
Sucks.
Oh, how nice of them.
Yeah. So I got a haircut, and I had long hair. And I was like, I can't do this. It's like every night and it's gross and I hate it. Like even one person at that school ended up shaving their head. She definitely didn't get bullied for that.
Oh, no.
It was terrible. But yeah, I got my haircut, and it was cut short, and it was based off of Tegan and Sarah's haircuts. If you don't know who they are, they sing stuff and they're queer. And I think they're here. They're local, aren't they?
Here is in Vancouver, yes. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Not here right now.
Are you
it's like introducing. But yeah, I got my hair cut and I loved it. It was the happiest I was with my hair, like, ever. Yeah, it was cool. It was like a little, I don't know how to describe it. It was cool. It was short, but it wasn't like super, super short, but it was pretty short.
I love that hair.
Like shorter than a bob. And I loved it. Anyways, I went to school. People were terrible. Like, a lot of, like, that same girl who I was friends with was like, oh, you remember that friend that you met that one time? That's my friend. And I was like, yeah. And then she's like, oh, yeah, she thought you were really pretty. And, like, you know, and then I was like, oh, cool. And then she's like, but that was when you had long hair.
Oh, oh, no.
I hate when they do that, when they're like, oh, I liked you before, now, but now we can't date.
Like, hi, I'm gonna let you know that I liked it better when you were this way, so hopefully you'll change for me.
Yeah, just for me. Just I don't care about your identity, as long as you're perfect for me.
Yeah, so, a lot of teasing. Everyone was really mean to me in grade four. That was like when that was the peak of people bullying me. But yeah, I got called a boy a lot as well. And like, you look like a boy. And like, old people, when I was walking to school, would be like talking to me like they saw me as a boy. And I was like, I was kind of caught off guard by it because it's never something I encountered. And when people were calling me a boy and I didn't look like a girl, I was offended because they were meaning it in a mean way, but I was also confused. I had an underlying confusion because I was like, but why is it, I kind of, but like, is it bad that I look like a boy? Like, wait, is this normal? So yeah, that's the gender thing. I thought I was bisexual when I started finding out terms. I now realize I am pansexual. I don't understand having gender limit my ability to like people.
Right? it's so weird how like people, like pansexuals, can just like people, and then I just can't comprehend people not being pansexual. Like, it's so weird, but probably cis people and bi people and homos and all, like, everyone are feel the exact same way. Like, it's just people's sexuality is so weird.
I don't understand it, like, but hey, that gives me the stance point of straight people and how they don't understand gay people and like other people with queer identity. Hey, guess what, I don't understand people who have gender limiting their ability to like people. That includes like gay people, lesbians, and straight people. Guess what? I still respect them.
And you're still valid.
Ta-ta. Now the patriarchy is dead, and we killed it. If you identify as a woman, femme, trans, or non-binary, CITR wants you on the air. You can talk about literally whatever you want as long as you care about it. No worries if you have no experience, we'll train you in everything you need to know. Come by CITR and say hi.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello.
From 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday to Friday to help us never play Led Zeppelin on CITR 101.9 FM ever again.
Do you like that?
How about that?
Mondays, 5 p.m. Deliberate Noise. Nina Panini, special guest Claire. Local, new, hot, upcoming shows, toilets, friendship. Mondays at 5. CITR. Be there. Be there.
Like
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thikum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam, Nisiaya,
Anthasiakuya, Talit, Sin, Homasquim, Mustail. And that kind of brings me full circle to the whole your YouTube bio with like the be loud, be brave, and be weird. And you guys go through like heavy topics and like your interview with Kim Mortal. What was that like?
Oh, that was great. Okay, yeah. Fun fact, Kim doesn't know this. So when Kim listens to this, when and if Kim listens to this, Kim was my first like queer crush, like one of my first queer crushes.
They're on their show.
Yeah. I didn't tell them because I forgot. But like, yeah, they were one of my first queer crushes. And like, I don't know if they noticed, but like when I was little, I was always like really shy around them. And like whenever like people would be saying bye or hi to each other, I'd be super like distance. I don't know if it came off as cold or like anything like that. It's because I was gay and panicking. I was like,
because I was gay and panicking is a great sentence.
Yes. But yeah, it was amazing having them as the first guest. I don't know, it just felt right. Like when I was thinking about the people that I wanted on the podcast, it was like, well, Kim, obviously. Kim, like, what do you mean?
Is there something that you would ask them, like, that you thought you might have missed during your show, or that you want to ask now? Like, maybe asking them out? I mean, you can't now, because they're dating.
I'm not single. I can't do that. And Kim is not single. And Kim is older than me. But, yeah. No, I would definitely ask them out on the podcast, put them on the spot. yeah, no, it was cool. We're watching it later. I don't know if I want to spoil it because it's something that, or.
Give us some like hot deets without giving us like the Cheeto.
Oh, but I, okay. Okay, that's
give
really hard.
Give us the hot Doritos.
Doritos. the Doritos. Well, it's like those socially outward, I was looking forward to having those conversations that are awkward storytelling, like conversations that you won't come across and usually in like day-to-day conversations, but like that are the best conversations because you can look back at it and cringe and laugh, and like it's being open, and it's my favorite thing, and that's one of the main things I wanted. And because I'm going to not spoil things. A few stories, one in particular, like that, happened, and it's great. And I'm so happy that I could hear that and share that story with other people. And it's so fun. It's so I just want to say everything.
Let me bring Veda into this fun, because Veda controls a lot of the mastermind behind all this technology. And a little bit in like maybe 10, 11 minutes into it, we hear, Jade, go closer to your mic. Veda mm-hmm. has been amazing with technology. I am zooming Veda right now with Jade, and there's a green screen right behind him.
Professional mic setup, everything.
Professional mic setup, yeah. Everything.
Always outdoing me.
Is this something you wanted to do, like in a professional career? Like, how did you know you want to get into this? Like, you seem to always be on the ball with these things.
Yeah. Well, I think at this point, I'm definitely very interested in pursuing a film career. So I've been. My parents used to do these film festivals, these local film festivals. So because of that, it was something that they were like passionate and enjoying enough about that they got like a bunch of like equipment and like software and stuff to do it well. So we've had this It's like 11 or 12 years old now at this point. But we had this pretty good camera. It's like 10 or 11 years old, but it was still like 1080p and stuff. And we had these like lapel mics and this boom mic and stuff. So it was a pretty pretty medium deal. we've had like editing software too for like as long as I could use a computer. So because of that, those resources being available to me, I'm very privileged. I know this. But because I was privileged enough to have these resources available to me as I was growing up, it really let me develop and hone my passion for them.
Is this something that you see like other group people in the community needing, like these spaces where we can learn this stuff, like, I don't know, make our own shows?
These spaces and these resources and like people and parents and strangers just being willing to contribute and be generous and just help people, like queer people, BIPOC people, any people, just like learn what they love and hone it. And like particularly marginalized communities who, like, due to one reason or another, most likely systemic racism, aren't as financially well off as other people may be. It's really important for those people to have those resources available to them. And yeah,
I'm definitely putting that in an Instagram post and like quoting you on that.
With all the ums and yas.
You're listening to CITR 101.9, broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded, Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people. Nisiam, Nisiaya, Thinkum Queen Ansep, Hydra CM, Nisiam, Nisiaya,
and the Scatulia, Talib, Sin, Homasquim, Mustail. Okay, so last question. I know I've kept you guys for a long time. So going back to like my question way back about like your first coming out experience and like your experiences with that and like the community and the public and being perceived, I guess. But is there something you would recommend to someone if they're it's their first time coming out, to their parents, to their friends? Like, what's the best piece of career advice you would give to your younger self? Why don't we go with you, Veda, first?
Don't be afraid to take your time with it. Do not be pressured into doing it at all whatsoever. Do not let that happen. This is a treasured piece of you, of your identity, of your person. And if you're not willing, if you're not ready, if you're not comfortable with sharing that piece with someone, that is extremely valid. Just because they're your parents doesn't mean they have to know. If you feel that would make you uncomfortable, stay comfortable. If being closeted makes you more comfortable, stay closeted. But also, don't stay closeted forever. Sharing that piece of you, that wonderful piece of you, is there's something really special and beautiful about doing that. And if they accept that, if they respect you, if they still love you, then there's very few things in the world more valuable than that sort of connection, that piece of you that you can share.
I just want to say I couldn't stop smiling throughout this entire video, and now my cheeks hurt, and that was great. Thank you so much. Jade, do you want to add to that?
Very inconveniently, there's still I don't know what to do now, because it sounds like it's going to be like this for a bit.
That's okay. You just do your thing. For context, this is a pandemic situation. We're all over Zoom, and we have families in the background.
Yeah. Yeah.
It sounds like my carburetor has been on for like 10 minutes, but that doesn't seem likely. So I'm wondering what is grinding above my head. yeah, I heard that. I heard my great use of words there.
Yeah.
What's one thing you would tell like your younger self?
You're really cool. No, I already knew that. Never mind. I already knew that.
Great. That's good.
I don't know. Honestly, there's nothing I would change, because I feel like everything that happened, like, I can't see it being any other way. Like, whenever people start talking about like time traveling and things that you do differently, I'd be like, no, I don't want to mess around with that, because I can't see it being any other way, and I don't want to do that.
Not even for killing baby Hitler?
No. That's even bigger scale. That's like crazy, dude.
Yeah.
But
it's like that whole sort of thing that you've been through suffering, you've been through that stuff, but you are wonderful now. So and you're stronger for that stuff you have survived through. Like, even if there are aspects of you whether it's like trauma or just those bad experiences that you've been through, like parts of that those experiences that you just love to forget, you are still way stronger for surviving that. And it's turned out all right. So why go back and change it?
Thank you two for joining us on the collective to talk about Socially Outward and your experiences. We really appreciate it. Me, June, definitely. Thank you guys so much. Now we're going to play you the first ever episode of Socially Outward, now available for streaming on Spotify and YouTube.
And if you want to find all the other places it's available, you can go to socially-outward.buzzsprout.com. And then you can get the entire list of all the podcast places it's available on. Or you can just look on your podcast app, because it's probably there by now.
Where do you go with your broken heart and soul? What do you do with the leftover you? And how do you know when the left